Thank you. Yeah, well, good morning. It's great to be in church today. If I haven't met you, my name's Liam. I'm the youth pastor here. And man, it's an honor to bring the word this morning. I just feel like that worship this morning was so anointed. So thank you, team. Thanks, Pat and the team. It was just, yeah, I feel like we touched heaven there. Like Pastor Nick said, we're in the middle of our 40 Days of Prayer series, and I feel like we've already seen so much growth in that space. And last week, as Pat mentioned, we were on a young adult retreat, and I got to be there with Phoebe for a bit of it, and we had a worship session on the Saturday night. And as we led worship, I looked up and I just saw a bunch of 20 to 30 year olds engaged with the presence of God, and it just felt like heaven, honestly. And so it was super encouraging. And then yesterday we had like 10 of our creative team head down to Brisbane at the QB Creative Conference, and man, again, felt like heaven in the last session where we just rallied around the presence of God and we worshipped. And it was such an equipping day for us as a team. So praise God. I feel like he's moving in our midst as we move through this series and preaching focus together. But there's a QR code that'll pop up on the screen. And like Pastor Nick said, if you scan that, it'll bring you to the webpage where you can download the prayer cards and some resources around fasting and how to engage well in this preaching focus. So I'd encourage you to do that if you haven't done so already. But if you missed last week, Pastor Nick, he launched our series looking at 40 Days of Prayer. And so we're going to be looking at what it means to be a Bethany community. That's what he looked at last week, what it means to be a Bethany community. When Jesus was on earth, some of his most powerful ministry happened in this biblical town of Bethany, this town called Bethany. And in Bethany, in this place, Jesus was welcomed. He was welcomed in that place. And throughout the Gospels, we see that where Jesus went, he was welcomed. He went to places he was welcomed, and in those places, he ministered powerfully. He ministered powerfully, and in those places, he was seen rightly. There was a right view of Jesus, and it's our desire as a community here at Outlook that we would be a place where we see Jesus rightly, where we become increasingly a people and a community who are open to the fullness of the things of God. And so last week, Pastor Nick, he compared the town of Bethany and the town of Nazareth, right? And how Jesus moved in response to the attitudes and the faith of the people there, right? And there were two very different responses that Jesus had. And it wasn't because there was two different Jesuses. Jesus was the same. He was the same. But the attitudes and the faith of the people in those towns elicited different responses from Jesus. And so across this preaching focus, we're going to unpack different passages looking at how Jesus moved in the town of Bethany and how we as a community can be a Bethany community where we see Jesus rightly as individuals as well as collectively as a community. And so today, we're looking at a particular moment in the town of Bethany. We're looking at the story of Mary and Martha. And so it's in Luke 10, verse 38 to 42, if you want to flip there in your Bible. So Luke 10, 38 to 42. As you flip there, I'm just going to pray and ask Holy Spirit to speak. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'd soften our hearts this morning to receive what you'd have to say to us. We just pray that you'd give us ears to hear. We just pray that you would release us from distraction, release us from things that are on our minds so we can focus on you and your word and what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So reading from Luke 10, 38 to 42, if you don't have your Bibles, it'll be on the screen. Says this: as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village, Bethany, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing, and she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." The Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it and it will not be taken away from her." If you've grown up in church or you've been following Jesus for a while, you probably have heard the story and you've probably heard it preached on multiple times as well. And I feel like often when I've heard this story preached, we can instantly jump down and look down on Martha. Like, "Martha, why are you doing that? Obviously the right thing to do is what Mary chose to do, right?" And we can be unfairly, I think, critical of Martha. But if you put this story into the context of the time, the cultural context of the time, I think it'll give us a bit of grace for why Martha responds in the way that she does. At the time of Jesus, it was actually the cultural expectation to do what Martha was doing as a woman. That's what a woman's place was. It was to serve, not to learn, and hospitality was a crucial social obligation for women. And so Martha, she's burdened. She's burdened by the honour of hosting Jesus, and she's busied herself with these preparations. And actually, in fact, what Mary is doing is extremely culturally inappropriate. Mary has chosen an inappropriate response culturally. And I was reading a commentator, and this commentator suggested that traditional Jewish writers suggested that women shouldn't be taught to read at all because, quote, women learning to read the Torah would be useless and dangerous. That's a traditional Jewish writer. And, you know, women, they weren't taught aspects of the law unless they directly applied to them, nor did they learn from men. Their lessons were taught from women, so their mothers, their mother-in-laws, or older women within their community. They weren't meant to be taught from men. And so Mary, sitting at the feet of a man and not cooking and preparing and hosting, this would have been extremely culturally taboo. And inappropriate. And I think if we were to read ourselves into the story, if you place yourself into the story, I know for me, I'm not choosing the culturally defying and socially defying option. Like, I'm going to be in the kitchen. I'm not doing the culturally inappropriate thing. If you're like me, I like to get things done. I have a to-do list. I like to achieve. I like to achieve others' expectations of me. I'm a task-oriented person. And this drives Phoebe nuts, to be honest. Not to bring up IKEA again, that's my only personality trait at this point. Not to bring it up again, but when you go to IKEA, when I go, I'm like in and out. I don't want to be there for long, I'm in and out. There's a top floor that has like a showroom and then a bottom floor where you actually pick up your stuff. And so I'm like, skip the showroom, straight downstairs, I'm picking up my stuff. I've probably actually clean collected my order before I even enter the store. I don't really want to go in, right? But Phoebe, she loves to wander through the top room, wander through the showroom. Apparently she loves the smell of stressful flat pack furniture. She loves the sound of crying babies and fighting couples, right? And I'm just like, get in and get out. That's me. So I'm probably more of a Martha, and Phoebe is probably more of a Mary, right? And so I actually empathize with Martha quite a bit in this story. But, you know, what Martha chooses to do is actually a good thing. It's actually a good thing. She wanted to host Jesus well. She wanted to welcome him. She wanted to make dinner for him and to feed him. You know, she chooses to do a good thing. She welcomes Jesus in. She welcomes him in and tries to host him really well. But Jesus turns around and says to her that Mary has chosen the better portion, that Mary has chosen the better thing. She has discovered the one thing worth being concerned about. And why does he say this? Why does he say this to someone who's trying to actually do right by him? Why would he say that to her? Because I believe Martha, she hasn't chosen the best thing. While she welcomes Jesus into her home, she falls into well-meaning error. She spends too much energy on the external, simplistic, and maybe even superficial aspects of welcoming Jesus well. You know, Martha's mind is set on good things, but not the best things. She's distracted by customs and traditions, while Mary's focus is on what is most important. You know, Mary is focused on what is best. And so this morning, we're going to look at how we, as individuals and as a community, can focus on what is best. What is best, what Jesus says is best. Because there are things that are good that we can be distracted by, but that's not all that Jesus has for us. And so I think we can focus on the best things Jesus has for us by, instead of prioritize doing for Jesus, we need to prioritize being with Jesus. And then secondly, we need to see him rightly. We need to see Jesus rightly and have the right and appropriate response to him. And so one of the main differences between Mary and Martha is Martha's doing and Mary's being. I think in this story, Martha represents doing for Jesus. She represents doing for Jesus, which is actually a good thing. But Mary represents being with Jesus, which Jesus says is actually the best thing. And so Martha, she bases her actions on the culture of her era, which as a woman was to do, which was to serve, prepare the meal and host well. But Mary, like we said, she chooses to defy cultural expectations and societal norms, and she chooses to be. She chooses to be with Jesus and sit at his feet. You know, Mary's actions are intentional. When it says that she sat, it doesn't purely mean like a physical posture or a position. It's not just talking about that, but it's exemplifying the choice to stay near to Jesus and to learn. And it's part of an idiom or an expression. And so when it says at the feet of, or to sit at the feet of, this is to represent rabbinical discipleship, meaning that Mary, as a woman, is sitting at the feet of a rabbi for the purpose of learning. Again, a super countercultural moment that we're reading about here. And Mary, she leaves her sister behind, and it's not clear if she leaves Martha at the start of the preparation of the meal or halfway through, but whatever the case may be, what is certain is that she chooses to sit and listen to Jesus despite the other demands for her attention. And so to be at the Lord's feet in Jewish culture means you are found where a disciple would be found. In Jewish culture, being at the feet of a rabbi means that you are that rabbi's disciple, that teacher's disciple. And so when Mary of Bethany sat at the feet of Jesus, it implies a discipleship relationship. And just as an aside, we see here that unlike many other rabbis, Jesus welcomes women. And that includes those who serve and support him, but also those who just want to listen and learn from him and learn his ways. You know, Jesus didn't simply allow women to sit at his feet, but he intentionally invited them in. Again, this is super countercultural. It's groundbreaking. And we see here that Mary chose to be with Jesus, to sit at his feet, to get to know him personally and to know his ways. And Jesus says that this is the better thing. This is the better portion. You know, while it was a good thing for Martha to serve and to prepare and to host, in the mind of Jesus, being with him is the better of the two. And I think this really easily translates to our journeys as followers of Jesus. Like, this can look like really good things, like serving in church, listening to Christian music, or even hanging verses up on our walls. But these things don't replace listening to him, listening to his message and building relationship with him. You know, modern Christian culture can be just as burdensome as Martha's hospitality culture. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 that these things are lawful, but they're not always helpful. A couple of years ago, Phoebe and I were listening to a podcast about this church in the States that had a really terrible culture, and they worked their staff really, really hard. And one of these ex-staff members said that the church culture and the leadership would work you to your bones. They would crush your bones up, make them into a powder, make it into bread, and then serve it for communion. Like, super powerful imagery there. And in some strange way, I could relate to that. Not because I was working in a toxic church culture or because the leadership abused my work ethic, but actually because I was doing a whole lot of stuff for Jesus without being with him. The two are not the same. They're not the same. Doing for Jesus and being with Jesus are not the same thing. You can do a whole lot for Jesus, but as I found out, it's left me burnt out, irritated, and unsatisfied. And this happened because I didn't couple doing with Jesus with actually being with Jesus. You know, doing a whole bunch of stuff for Jesus is a good thing. It's actually a good thing, but it's not the best thing. It's not the best thing if we also don't take time to listen to him, to build relationship with him, and to build history with him like Mary chose to do. And as someone who literally works at a church, who's on staff at a church, who's a pastor at a church, I'm probably speaking to myself more than anyone else in the room, but it's an important distinction to make, because Jesus says that being with him is the better portion. Jesus said himself in Matthew 7, On Judgment Day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I'll reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Doing for Jesus is a good thing, but doing without being with him is not the best thing. So doing for Jesus is a good thing, but doing without being with him is not the best thing. And so the encouragement and the challenge for us as a community would be, for us as a Bethany community, would be that we welcome Jesus in all of his fullness, in all of his fullness. And to do that, we need to prioritize being with Jesus just as much, if not more, as we prioritize doing with Jesus. And if I can just break from my little script here, I've grown up in this church. This church was planted 14 years ago, and I've been around for 12 of those years. And I feel like my perception is that maybe it's a church plant hangover thing, but we have prioritized doing as a church, I feel like. Rightly or wrongly, I think stuff needs to get done. At the end of the day, if we all sat around being Marys, nothing would get done, right? But as a church, we've come to a tipping point where we need to prioritize being. And for us established outlookers, us OGs, we need to probably start prioritizing being with Jesus individually, but as well as corporately, which is maybe why we've extended our worship time a little bit longer, which is why maybe we focus on prayer a little bit more, because we want to be a community that bees with Jesus, that values being with him before we do a whole bunch of stuff for him. Because like my own experience, that ends in burnout and irritation and unsatisfaction. But Jesus, being with him, having communion with him, is where we find fullness and satisfaction. But I think the second way that we can focus on the best things Jesus has for us is by seeing him rightly and responding appropriately. And what's real interesting is that in these verses that we've read, Jesus is referred to as Lord three times. And he's clearly represented as the highest authority in the story. And this is probably why Martha appeals to him to ask Mary to help her. But Mary knows that it's more respectful to actually learn about Jesus when he's teaching than to serve him. And what I find interesting is that Mary and Martha, they both view Jesus as Lord. They both acknowledge him as Lord, but they both have different responses to him. They both have different responses. And I was like, well, what's the difference? How do they both see Jesus as Lord, yet have two different responses to him? And then why did Jesus say that one was a better portion or the better option? And the fact that Jesus says that Mary's response was the better portion, I think actually shows his heart for us as people. I actually believe that it shows that Jesus wants deep relationship with us before we do anything for him. I believe Jesus is saying that he wants us as people, as individuals, before he wants what we can do for him. I actually think he's far more concerned with our communion with him than what we can bring to him in service. And that's why he says Mary chose the better portion. Even though both women saw Jesus rightly, even though they both saw him rightly as Lord, I think Mary had a fuller understanding of who Jesus was. She knew this man was more than just a great earthly teacher, but he was in fact Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the one who the prophets spoke about, the one who would set her people free, the one who would bring healing and restoration and hope. She knew that he deserved more than good hospitality and good service, but actually he deserved her complete and undivided attention and adoration. That's who she knew Jesus to be. She understood that he was worthy of her whole being, of her whole friendship, of her whole commitment, her unwavering commitment, and that Jesus had the power to bring transformation simply by sitting at his feet and by listening. And so maybe you've just started following Jesus, or maybe you've been following him for decades. And maybe you do acknowledge him as Lord. Maybe you do say that he is Lord of your life. But have you allowed that revelation to to elicit the right and appropriate response in you? Do you actually see him rightly as he really is, as Lord? Do you acknowledge his power and authority over the living and the dead? Do you acknowledge his provision for every living thing? Do you acknowledge him as the Alpha and the Omega? Do you acknowledge his power in creation? Do you acknowledge his ultimate authority over everything created? And does this revelation lead you to the appropriate response of first sitting at his feet, listening to him, building relationship with him, and letting him transform you just as Mary chose to do? You know, doing for Jesus, just as Martha did, isn't a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. And Jesus, he asks us to do things for him and through him. But we need to cultivate history, relationship, and intimacy with him first by being with him. Because he says this is the better portion. And at the feet of Jesus, at his feet is where we build this relationship and this intimacy by being with him and by listening to him. And for us to be a Bethany community, a community that welcomes Jesus in all his fullness, we need to know him personally and deeply for ourselves so that we can know what his fullness looks like, so that we can discern his voice and his ways. And we need to cultivate relationship with him and prepare our hearts and lives to receive him and welcome him well. I've heard it said that God moves where he is welcome, and he comes to prepared places. And so over our 40 days of prayer and 21 days of fasting, it's our prayer that we would be a prepared place, that we have developed such intimacy and friendship and relationship with Jesus, that he is invited to move powerfully in all of his fullness. And it's our prayer that over this season, that we as a church would welcome God's presence, and in response, that he would bring breakthrough, healing, restoration, and revival. Like, that's our prayer. That's our prayer as a church. But it first starts by coming to him just as we are. Just as we are. And sitting at his feet and building relationship with him just as Mary did. And we don't need to do anything to come to him apart from accepting what he did for us on the cross. And so this morning we're going to remember what he did for us through communion. That the Lord Jesus came to earth as a baby, the very nature of God taking on human flesh. That he went to live a perfect life in submission to God as Father and as King. Yet he went to the cross for us. He went to the cross for us to make all sin right, to pay the debt that you and I owe. But then he rose 3 days later, just as we sung about. He rose 3 days later, conquering sin and death once and for all, so that we could sit at his feet and enjoy a relationship with him into eternity, just as Mary did. And so this morning, Pastor Nick and I are going to hand out communion. So in a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand, come to the front and receive, and then head back to your seat, and we'll spend a time of reflection together. So why don't we do that now? If you stand to your feet and come and receive. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So this morning, spend some time in individual reflection. And just reflect and ask Holy Spirit to help us, as individuals and as a community develop this intimacy with Jesus that we've been talking about. By sitting at his feet, by building history with him. And just be reminded that the only way we can enjoy that is through this, through what he's done for us on the cross. So spend some time praying and I'll wrap us up. So God, we just thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you invite us into friendship with you, into intimacy with you. We thank you that that's the better portion. We thank you that you want our hearts before you want what we can do for you. We thank that you love us. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you made a way. You made a way for us to enjoy communion and friendship and intimacy with you. We thank you that it's only by faith that we can enter in. It's only by faith in what you've done. We thank you that there's no striving. There's no striving into relationship with you. It's only by what you've done. God, we pray that you'd establish your kingdom in our midst. Establish your way in and through us, Lord Jesus. Use us. Use us to establish your kingdom so that many people might come to know you. That you would bring hope, restoration, and fullness here and now, in our time. In our time, Lord Jesus, we pray. Holy Spirit, work powerfully. Use us. Use us as your people. make us into a Bethany community, a community that welcomes you, in, that doesn't box you in. Help us receive you well. Help us welcome you well. We want to be obedient to your ways. And we want to follow you well. We want to be your fully devoted people. Also, just help us, Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh. Anoint us afresh. We need your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like prayer after our gathering today, please come up to the front after the last song. Or if you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, if you haven't done that before for yourself, feel free to come up and speak to myself or Pastor Nick, and we'd love to pray for you. But yeah, thank you so much, team, and we'll worship. So let's stand as we worship together.